Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. I do want to apologize. This is going to be our Future Friday, and our Future Friday guest is Angel Sandoval. We are recording it on Saturday, but we had recorded an awesome video prior. Sadly, my camera did a boo-boo, and it kind of just died. So it didn't get to record all of it. So we're redoing it again for you guys here. So let me welcome Angel.
Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So go ahead and give the viewers a little a little background about what you do and like who you are.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Yeah, I think I'm glad that we're redoing this. I know we had tried to do it last time. But yeah, my name's Angel Sandoval. I've pretty much lived in El Paso almost all my life. I came from Juarez. Right now, I'm in love with the restaurant industry. And so we love to help increase sales for restaurants. Help them figure out not just their branding, their website, their logo, right, their image, but really help them generate as many sales as they can. And so that's my mission, is to be able to help over 1,000 restaurants, and El Paso is a great market for it.
That's really awesome. So specifically why I chose you to be our guest is because, like, you've always really inspired me and motivated me. You have this drive and this fire. You're always doing something different. And when I saw that you had graduated from UTEP with your marketing degree and you started doing your own business, I thought that was awesome because lots of people feel the need to seek their new business elsewhere. They don't feel El Paso is a strong enough market. So I think you're a perfect example of, you know, someone that also has the same dreams and vision and could start it here locally. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and hopefully at the end our viewers to get an idea of what it's like to be an entrepreneur here in El Paso. And I want them to be prepared of the ups and the downs, but most of all, I want them to be inspired by individuals like yourself. So let's get on to our questions. So before we get all strict into like the business, I want to learn more about like who you are and your fun side, because business can take a toll of who we are.
So, yeah, I love that. I'm glad that you said that. It could take a toll. I'm really big on, you know, being able to balance different aspects of your life, health, so working out, right? So what I do on my off time is I love working out. So I work out almost every day. I love hanging out with my friends, watching NFL football, right? I'm a big passionate guy about football. I love reading. So I love, you know, picking up a book. I tend to read a self-development book and then a business book at the same time, slowly, right? To make sure that I can develop both sides. But I think what I love the most is watching videos and hearing electronic music. So hearing videos, because I love Gary Vee, and I think you can just learn from people like that, right, to take action. But electronic music festivals, I just love traveling to EDC and other festivals throughout the year.
That
it's
is
like
so
my
awesome
way to, you know, release all the stress.
Yeah, music brings something in us that honestly I don't know, but nothing else can bring that feeling. I really do have the same experience at that. By the way, since you mentioned Garvey, did you know he's actually coming to El Paso next year in 2020?
I know. I'm so excited. Once the tickets are out, you best believe we're going to be VIP there.
That's so true. Yeah, I'm super stoked. He's an awesome dude. So that's great that you like to have fun. You like to balance everything. So what would you say it's a good example of why someone should start a business here in El Paso?
I think there's various reasons, but I'm going to try to stick to like the restaurant aspect just because that's what I know the most. But restaurant wise, I mean, one, in El Paso, costs are so low, right? Compared to a bigger city. And so you're able to open something bigger or better with much less money, right? But what I don't think a lot of people take in consideration is that we have Cruces, we have Juarez, right? And then we have the El Paso market, and all these markets come together in El Paso. And so there's a huge business here. There's a huge market. There's a lot of people that you can get to. And like I said, what I love about El Paso is that I don't think I've seen a business like being the go-to spot, if that makes sense, right? So there's a lot of opportunity to come in as a new business and really take over the market or be really competitive in it.
Yeah, I do see a lot of competitive businesses here. So that's a fun thing also, because you don't want, like you said, just that one place to go to. It's constantly growing. I know meal preps and like health and fitness started popping up a few years ago, and all of a sudden there's one at every corner. which is really awesome. So it is nice to see that you have options.
Yeah, and going off of that, what you said, like there's a lot of different competition. I like to think about it a little bit different, right? So people tend to think that, for example, if I'm a meal prep business and I don't know where there's 10 meal prep spots, mm-hmm. they think that they see it as competition, right? So they're always on the defense. But the way I like to teach my restaurants is I would see it more as awareness, if that makes sense. So let's say I own a dessert shop and then I don't know where 10 dessert shops open up. Mm-hmm. That means that we're going to be driving in a bigger crowd. So now people are going to be more aware that El Paso is going to have a lot of dessert shops. So you know what I mean? So if you're open meal preps and 10 open, that means that we're trying to bring awareness to El Paso that we're trying to be more healthy and take care of our bodies. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the more competition I have, the better, because we're bringing awareness to that specific market.
If that makes wow. sense. That's an awesome way to view that. I would have never guessed, you know, me as being a consumer, I kind of just see it popping up and I'm like, oh, yay.
Exactly. I don't want
to go into the details.
Oh, yeah, and you think about it, right? If we only had one meal prep spot, mm-hmm. I don't think we would have that much movement on people wanting to do meal preps. Mm-hmm. Right, but the fact that there's so many, it's actually kind of starting this movement of being healthy and letting people taking care of their bodies. So gotta love that.
That's awesome. So like you being an entrepreneur, you've learned a lot, you know, in school, but a lot, like you said, you do self-development books, you do a lot of research, you put a lot into it, just yourself. So you being a self-made entrepreneur, what challenges have you experienced so far?
I think the biggest one is just getting started. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the biggest one. I think as you go, you're going to learn, right? You're going to burn through money. You're going to have to invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest one that people are going to go through and that I feel I should bring awareness to is just getting started. We try to, when we go to school, we get taught to plan everything in advance, mm-hmm. right? Which is great. Yeah. But sometimes what makes a difference in an entrepreneur is the people that plan compared to the people that do, right? Mm-hmm. So the biggest challenge that I had was trying to make sure that not everything was perfect and really just starting to put my name out there, starting to call, starting to send emails, right? Like just getting to work. So the biggest challenge I faced was just getting started and running with it.
And you being so young, I could see why you were a little fearful, because, you know, people might think right away, what experience do you have? But the great thing about being a newbie at something is that you have that hunger that usually dies down when you're really, really experienced. So I hope you don't die down, but usually people that are kind of older and experienced in the game, they kind of let go and they get comfortable and, you know, it goes a little slower. So when you're new, you're hungry for that success and you want it. So I know as being like someone that's young too, into the business, that hunger is always there, but there's days where it kind of just dies down also. So what do you do to always stay hungry for success?
Yeah, I love that question.
Yeah.
I love that question because it's hard for a lot of people to stay motivated.
And
it's normal. Yeah. We're not going to blame them. I think the thing that keeps me hungry is, one, you have to have a routine, right? There's this quote that says, if you win the first hour, you will win your day. So you have to make sure that you have a morning routine, a night routine, and what I love to call our non-negotiables.
Okay.
The reason I call them non-negotiables is because the word routine can get pretty basic and it can get like run down, right? Like, oh my God, like it's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
But when you're setting them as non-negotiables, mm-hmm. so for example, my non-negotiables is I want to take care of my body. So I have to work out. Mm-hmm. I have to read one chapter a day. I have to play with my dogs, and then I have to visualize. That's every morning.
Yes.
Right? So if I'm able to create my non-negotiables, no matter what, I'm not going to break those. It keeps you on track, and it keeps you motivated. Mm-hmm. The second part is just really having the reason on why you're doing it. Right? Money's mm-hmm. great and all, but you have to have a reason of why you're doing it. So, for example, for me, for restaurants, I'm just really tired of seeing so many restaurants not being profitable and not being able to literally follow their dream of cooking and then making money from it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm tired of seeing that because I love restaurants and I think that's what brings a culture. So I'm so devoted to making that work and to actually changing restaurants' life that it wouldn't make sense for me not to wake up every morning and want to help them out.
Nice.
It will go against who I am. So definitely enjoying the process and but really staying dialed in what the mission is of what you're trying to accomplish.
Awesome. So to recap, you would say to stay hungry, you have to visualize. You have to have your reason why, have your little desire, and then to enjoy the process, right? So you have to kind of see that you are progressing.
Yeah, right? And making sure you have your non-negotiables is a huge one for me. Making sure you know, like, Angel, you cannot not work out, not read, not do this. You have to make sure those things get done in order for you to keep growing.
That's really awesome. So when you do your non-negotiables, do you have like a block time, like where you kind of just like meditate and kind of remind yourself, this is what I have to do? Or how do your non-negotiables?
Yeah, so you would definitely want to do them at the moment of where you're not getting bothered by emails or your 9-to-5 or whatever it is that you have. So for me, it's waking up at 5:30 in the morning, working out, getting ready, journaling, reading, visualizing, and then playing with my dogs. By the time I'm done, it's exactly about 7:45. And then which I start everything at 8. So it allows me to really take care of myself before I can take care of the business.
That's great. That's really good. That's kind of early. Did you always start that early, or did you slowly like progress like from 7 to 6 and then 5, or just boom, 5:30?
It's hard. I'm not going to say that, you know, you're doing it every day. Consistency is key. But honestly, I don't think there's such thing as working down to it. I that's just me. I don't think there's such thing as, hey, I usually wake up at 9, now I'm going to start waking up at 8:30, then 8, then 7:30. I think it's more, are you really committed and selling yourself on what you're trying to do? Because if you are, once that alarm goes off at 5 or 5:30, you're up ready to go, because you know that if you don't do it, you're going to fall behind. You're not going to do what you're trying to accomplish, right? And then it's just going to throw off your whole day. And so it's really just more selling yourself on what you're trying to do.
So you really have to believe yourself also that you can accomplish these things. Because sometimes our worst enemy is ourselves, you know. So you have to really tell yourself that you're capable of doing these. So maybe by keeping track of like, hey, I woke up early 6 days in a row, you really prove to yourself, you know, you have a visualization of like, wow, I'm progressing, I'm getting better. Because I know I do that. I like to see myself actually doing it. So I have like a little checklist. And I'm like, okay, so many days I did this straight. So obviously I can do it again. Maybe I could do it more days. So that's one way I like to do it. I don't know if you have anything similar.
Yeah, I have like a little checklist every morning. I'm actually, whenever I stand in front of my computer to do anything, I have everything right in front of me to make sure I keep remembering what I'm supposed to do. So yeah.
Cool. So we both do that. Maybe that's some advice the viewers can do. So what is the best advice that was given to you to be an entrepreneur?
There's so many good advice that I've been giving, but I think there's two that I want to kind of highlight. One is through Gary Vee and then a guy I follow, his name is Nicholas Bayerly, right? He says one called, your mess is your message. And I love that, because behind every, you know, all social media, Instagram, Facebook, people make it seem like everything is really pretty, really perfect, and there's no problems when you're either doing an entrepreneurship, business owner, right, or even your life in general. And so it doesn't allow people to really learn from others or really connect to somebody. And when Nicholas Bayerly told me, hey, you don't have to be scared of your mess, right? Of what you've gone through. Instead, you got to turn that into your message. I love that advice, because if you've gone through something, share it with the world, man. Let them know that you were able to get through it, how you got through it, and where you're at now. Because that's how you'll be able to create much more positive change than if you just put a really cool Instagram picture and make it seem like you're this influencer and you got so many things going on for you, when in reality, that's not even what it is. So really, making your mess your message was one of the best ones. And the second one, I actually have a mentor. His name is Kevin Stimson. Really successful guy. But what I like the most about him is he actually just talks a lot about how if you're in a relationship, you guys need to be moving together, right? And you have to be open with your significant other, and you have to make them believe in what you're doing as well. The reason I say that is because I'm sure there's a lot of people here or that listen to this that are probably holding something back because they don't want the reaction of their loved ones the way they have it, or they're scared of what they're going to say. And so one of the biggest advice he said is you just have to keep them sold on what you're doing as well, because what you're doing is going to improve the life that both of you have in the future.
That's really important. And I think that it's really good that you mentioned that, because lots of people don't notice. I don't know, you get so stuck into the business atmosphere that you don't notice how your significant other is doing. And I think if they could empower you to do more, then you're just like rocket, you could just keep going. So that's really good. Those are really good. Let's go ahead and go back to the restaurant industry. So being involved in that, can you already predict what's going to happen in a few years here in El Paso?
I think obviously, you know, it's hard to predict anything, but what I'm starting to see more is obviously local businesses have always been a big part of what we do. But I think that people are actually starting to, how do you say this, to share what who we are as a city, if that makes sense. So we're starting to see a lot more like fine dining restaurant, local restaurants opening up where they focus on their Mexican culture or the El Paso culture, right? There. So what I'm thinking that's going to happen is that 5 years from now, I think that we're going to have a lot more successful local restaurants than we are corporations.
Nice. So, I mean, that's, I'm trying to envision that in El Paso, and I could kind of see what you're talking about, because like in the Fountains, ever since that has like started, you have like Ruth's Chris and all. So is that what you're trying to talk about? Like bigger corporations like that?
No. I'm actually talking more local. I think 5 years from now, we're going to be like a more local, more high-end local businesses, more fine dining in the local aspect rather than bigger corporations. I know we already have a lot of local businesses, local restaurants in El Paso, but I think they're going to start giving more of a run for their money to the corporations than they ever have before.
So does that mean you kind of see business increasing, or you just feel lots of people are actually coming into El Paso? Like what's
I think a little bit of both, but I think we're going to increase like in restaurants wise. Like I think we're going to have a lot more local businesses opening up, and I think that they're going to be able to compete against bigger corporations much more than they have before. I think they're going to start investing more in their businesses. I think they're going to start taking more market share. And again, I think they're going to bring in even more fine dining and more culture to their restaurants than they ever have.
That's really interesting. I'm excited to see that, because I know El Paso is really big on their culture. Like we are number one for Mexican food, you know? Like, so yeah. I'm excited to see that. So we're going to wrap up our little podcast session. So hopefully the viewers out there got to get something out of this. The message that we want to take out is that we want people to start taking action and not be afraid. Hopefully they learned through you that you're young, you're an entrepreneur, and you have so much experience on what you do. You seem very self-driven, and you have a really strict kind of like schedule and habits that you've created with yourself. So since you have so much experience, we're going to end it with one question: is what's one recommendation for someone who wants to start a business? What action should they take first?
Yeah, I think if we're talking about starting a business in general, it's really the first thing that I would want to do is just help you guys figure out and understand exactly why you want to do it. You know, I don't like when people come into business or do something without knowing exactly why they came in. They just did it because they think it's cool to own a business or to start something from scratch, right? Yeah. I think it's good to make sure you know what the intention is, what your goals are, what would it mean for you if you're winning, right? Does it mean opening up a huge restaurant, owning a small food truck for people to just like your food? It really comes down to just figuring out why you want to open it and really sell yourself on the idea of it. If you're sitting there and you can't sell yourself, or you can't visualize yourself on 5 years from now having a really cool restaurant, a cool consulting business, or you know, you can't really sell yourself on the idea, then I would say step back and really develop it until you get to a position where you are so hungry for it and you visualize it so hard that you're like, there's no way I can't not do this, right? So make sure there's no way back.
That's awesome. And I also, like you said, maybe bringing your significant other or your family members involved kind of as like accountability partners. So like they know your dream, they know your vision, they can kind of keep you up, not to put you down like, hey, I told you, like you told me you were going to do this, but more like have them like keep you accountable for your goals. Like, hey, remember you wanted to do this. Like, you know, hopefully they can support you in a good way.
Yeah. And in that same token though, don't forget, like if you're trying to open up a business, it's going to be more going to lie on yourself, right? So don't go take advice from someone that's never opened up a business about why you shouldn't open up a business.
Oh, there you go. That's
which true. A lot of people do. We'd love to give our 10 cents and those opinions are worth literally 2 cents, right? It doesn't make sense. So if you want to open up a business and you're passionate, but you don't know how, go and find the person that has what you have or that you want. Mm-hmm. Go ask them the question, go learn from there. Don't take the advice from someone that's never done it and that's telling you not to do it, because that does not make sense.
And I think that's great advice that you could give. And I want the viewers to have that advice too. Because I remember I reached out to you when I really started real estate and I was kind of like in a bummed out moment because I felt like I wasn't really growing. And you told me, find like one of the best agents you know or someone you admire and reach out to them. And I actually did a month ago, I reached out to someone here local in El Paso that's very well known. And I was so scared to like call her. And I have a 214 error code. So when I called her, I instantly got the voicemail. And she probably thought it was spam. And I texted her. And before you know, I became great friends. I met with her. I sat down with her. And now she's my mentor. So I think that advice there, going after someone who can teach you, is so great advice. Because if I wouldn't have done that, I probably would have been in the same situation I was, where I wasn't really happy or content with what I was doing. So I do want the viewers to also take that advice into heart. It does sound scary. It is kind of scary. But I mean, the worst thing they can say is no, right? And then you move on.
So. Yeah, I'm glad that we said this. So I guess the number one thing that I would say for someone that wants to start a business is go find someone. I think that would be the best advice we can give. Go find someone that's doing it. That's mm-hmm. not just doing it and making $1,000, but that is doing 10x from what you want to do. So if your goal is to make $100,000, go find someone that's making $1 million. If you're making, you know, that way you can actually learn from someone that's done it. And when mm-hmm. they do it, you'll be able to put yourself in a position to actually win because you're learning from them rather than, again, taking advice from someone that's never done it, that has mm-hmm. never pursued it, right? So that way you can put yourself in a winning position. So go get a mentor and learn from someone that's done it.
And don't be too soft either. Luckily, my mentor is super nice and she, you know, she does help me a lot. But I've heard so many stories of people that were, you know, working in an office for their mentor and they weren't that nice to them, but they gained a lot of information. So whether your situation is that your mentor is super nice or your mentor is kind of rude, you could still learn a lot from them. Like, I know this one broker, he was the coffee guy for his broker when he was younger. And he learned so much from that guy, even though he was the only coffee runner and he was kind of commanded all the time, like you're just a coffee boy. But he learned so much being next to someone that was so successful. And now 10 years later, he's a huge broker here in El Paso. So just, you know, be humble and always be open to what is there for you, because you're going to learn something no matter what.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. So if you're hearing this and you have something in the back of your mind that it's making sense or that literally it's making you think like, damn, that's exactly what I want to do, you should mm-hmm. stop hearing this podcast and you should probably go and do it. Don't make excuses and just go and take action today.
And if it works, let us know. Leave a comment or send us a message. We would love to share your stories as well.
So. Yeah. And if you ever need help with anything or you just want, you know, to talk to someone about how to get started, my number is 915-887-9144. I love giving you my number out. Even if I don't know you, let me know. We'll gladly talk to you.
That's so awesome. That's so cool. Well, let them know also where you can reach you at. Like, yeah, I know you do a lot of Instagram as well. You do videos on there.
So yeah, so my Instagram is angelthis, A-N-G-E-E-L _this.
Awesome. Coolness. So I really appreciate your time, Angel. And hopefully everyone enjoyed this podcast and got something out of it. Tune in next time and we'll have another Feature Friday. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.